Podtacular, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast, presents episode 565, bringing in 2017, recorded live on January 3rd, 2017. Hello, everyone. Welcome to Podtacular, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast. I am your host, Duststorm.
And I'm your co-host, Godzilla T.
And welcome to 2017, the year of Halo Wars 2.
Yeah. Okay, how many times have you accidentally wrote 2016 so far?
I haven't had a chance to write 2017 yet, so none.
Oh, you haven't typed it or anything?
No, believe it or not.
So far, I haven't screwed up yet, but trust me, it'll happen.
It used to be where I had a huge problem with it, but for the past few years that I can remember, it hasn't actually been that much of a problem for me.
Yeah.
Like maybe a couple of times, but other than that, it's really hasn't been too much of an issue. I don't know if it's just because of getting older or
having to write the date less. I don't have near the problem I used to. I don't have near the problem now as I used to because I don't write checks anymore. So I'm liable to, next time I write a check, I'm liable to put 95 on it. I don't know.
Fair point. But 2017 is going to be, I hope, a great year for Halo. As far as, I guess, not having a launch title and having Halo Wars 5 kind of dwindle out. Halo 5 starting to kind of slowly sunset into Halo 6 hype. And then we have Halo Wars 2 coming out this year. It'll be interesting to see what we get in terms of the additional free content for Halo 5. But I imagine that not too long after Halo Wars 5, we'll probably not really get much of free content updates, except maybe like Forge updates or actual, I guess, like the rec items, just kind of expanding on that stuff and not necessarily new maps or whatever. But we could be surprised. I don't know how much effort the multiplayer team or the Forge team is really focusing on Halo 6 at this point. And I know multiplayer is typically one of those last things in the dev cycle, but we'll see.
It is definitely going to be interesting. You know, the way they were talking on their last broadcast about Forge, I don't know how much more Forge stuff they can do, because the way it kind of sounded to me, they hit their memory max when it came to Forge with this last update. So there might be some quality of life improvements. But as far as new pieces, I'm not so sure we're going to get too many of those.
Well, and I'm wondering with that if there's going to be any of the new scripting stuff, because they've really expanded the scripting elements and they've blown it up with this last update with the whole battle golf and race and all that stuff. And I don't know how much memory scripting takes up compared to actual texture files and geometry. I know that stuff takes up quite a bit.
Yeah, I was, you know, that's what I'm saying. I'm thinking that it's going to be quality of life stuff, you know, different scripting things, you know, make things easier to script. But as far as, you know, like new Forge blocks or Forge pieces, I think we've probably seen the end of that. Unless they, you know, start taking some things that people aren't using away and putting other things back in. But I don't see them doing that, because there'll be that one person that has like 27 of those on their map.
Yeah, and I think it was when they did the little video talking about the race game type, there was, or maybe it was race or something else, but wasn't it like 7 different script brains to operate the race game mode?
Yeah, it's several. It kind of depends on how complex you make the race game type, or well, the race on that map.
Mm-hmm.
The nice thing about using the scripts is it's not part of the game type, it's part of the map. So, you know, you can make a race map as complicated or as simple as you want. You know, the more complicated to make it, the more script brains you need to control the different gates and functions of the map. So it kind of all depends on how crazy the Forger wants to get.
And based on a lot of the stuff that we've seen so far, there's some pretty crazy stuff that could be done with Forge and Halo 5.
Not all that battle golf looks like it's fun.
It's interesting. I think there's some things that they can do to make it a little bit more fun. I played it once over this past one game of battle golf over this past weekend, and the concept is cool, but there's just a lot of things in there I think that could be done to make it flow a little bit more better and make it a little bit more fun. Because as far as having the golf ball that you hit, if it kind of goes on the other side, the other team can just kind of back it down to their spawn, and then you're basically just having to rush completely to the other side instead of trying to focus more on trying to get your ball into the cup.
I mean, there's always, you know, there's always quirks when you got a new game type like that.
Yeah.
But the thing is now the Forgers have the tools to truly create their own custom game type. And I've already seen a few people do that. There was one I saw, it's kind of a variation on Breakout, but it's not really. it plays a lot different than, you know, Breakout or Arena Breakout does. Wish I'd have made some more notes. I watched the video. It's been about a week and a half ago. It was before Christmas. I should have bookmarked it, watched it again. But just the things that people are doing with the scripting and with the availability of the rec weapons are making some really interesting game types and maps.
And not only that, I've seen a lot of recent stuff with aesthetics. I've seen a lot of aesthetic maps lately with all the different Forge pieces that have been added in there. And it's incredible what people can make with Forge and just how much stuff there is to actually completely make different landscapes. And I've even seen some stuff come from other games.
Oh, yeah.
And it looked like it's legit from the game that it's mimicking.
Someone just re-released, what was that game type from COD? Siege? Is that what it is?
You mean Rainbow Six?
Or Rainbow Six, yeah.
Rainbow Six Siege? That's what
it, yeah. Somebody just redid that in Halo 5, and I watched some gameplay of that, and that looks pretty good. I mean, you can still tell it's a Forge map. You know, there are limitations to it, but it looks really good. As far as the function of the map and the gameplay, it looks crystal smooth. I mean, it is smooth gameplay. You really have to defend when you're inside the building. You know, it's not a lopsided battle like some of the earlier versions were, where, you know, one side seemed to be a lot more overpowered than the other. It seemed to be really balanced, and, you know, it worked. It worked just the way it was supposed to.
That's crazy.
You know, instead of pieces just disappearing like it did in Halo 4, you actually get rubble that falls. Because with the Halo 5 scripting engine, you can tell a piece to fall, not just vanish.
It's so powerful. This Forge is ridiculously powerful. And there's nothing else like it in any other game, minus what you can possibly do in PC. But I think Forge even puts some PC tools to shame just from the scripting engine.
I mean, the only thing that the PCs really have over the Halo 5 Forge, at least as far as the Halo map editors, is the control over the terrain. You know, you can, you know, in a PC version, you can reshape the map. You know, you can put hills in, and, you know, you can change the physical parameters of the map. Where in Forge, you have this kind of set boundary that you can build in. Now you can, you know, undulate the ground however you want, but there are solid objects that you can't move in Forge, which, you know, that's about the only thing that your PC that I can see really has an advantage over. You know, where in a PC, you can create that entire landscape. You know, you basically start with a white page and you fill everything in.
Yeah, I'm thinking of comparing it to Halo Custom Edition, all the tools that we have in there. And you can do stuff like make your own weapons, your own projectiles, and your own effects for those weapons. You can make your own maps from scratch, design the terrain, the layout of the map. So aside from those two big things, there's almost nothing that you can't do in Forge.
I'm thinking, you know, the Halo 5 Forge is something that could spark the desire to get into something more detailed like the custom edition map editor.
Mm-hmm.
To drive people to maybe do a little research and maybe look at, you know, becoming, you know, a map creator professionally. I know a lot of these forgers that I see, if they had the computer skills, which, you know, I don't know if they have the computer skills or not, but if they had the computer skills to do that, they could design some killer multiplayer maps.
Yeah, easily. Just look at all the stuff that the community cartographers helped out with on the big team maps that came out, and just the massive support for Forge that has been constantly been delivered by the team at 343.
Yeah, now that these forgers have had the mode for, I guess it'd be a year now, wouldn't it? Yeah.
A little over a year.
Yeah. They have, the forging quality has just, it's gone up and up and up. And there are Forge maps that I will put side by side with a dev map and challenge you to tell which one's which.
Yeah.
Forge has gotten that good. And, you know, that's something I didn't ever think we'd get out of Forge, especially after Reach. But anyway.
All the gray templates.
Right. You know, every map in Reach was gray. It didn't matter what you built, it was gray. As far as versatility, Halo Reach had a really versatile Forge. It had a lot of good tools in it. It just had a lack of pieces.
And color.
Yeah. Well, yeah, pieces and color. But the stuff people were doing in Halo 3 Days was truly amazing. And then to take that step to Reach, where they didn't have to glitch half the stuff they were doing in Halo 3.
Yep.
I mean, Halo 4 was a decent Forge. I don't know that I'd put it on par with Reach's, because there were some things that they removed that a lot of people liked. But it was still a pretty decent Forge. And now this one, I totally did not see this coming.
It's just astounding with how much stuff that's out there. And the funny thing is, we're still seeing new implementations of things and new ways to use Forge that completely just blow your mind.
Yeah, if they take this Forge and they bring it to Halo 6, you know, that'll give all these forgers a couple of years to really get to know the system. Imagine what they're going to be able to turn out in Halo 6.
Yeah. I'm hoping with Halo 6, we get something along the lines of being able to script something like Firefight and do some AI scripting. So one of the things that you can do in Halo Custom Edition is you can actually script your own campaign. And people have done that. That's how you have CMT SPV3, or at least that's kind of one of the ways. There's other campaigns that people have made, and they've recorded their own voices in there for scripting things. But if taking the script engine that they've made for Forge, if they can somehow get that to be as versatile to do some, even just some basic AI scripting, you can have people creating their own stories within the Halo universe.
Yeah. Honestly, I think that is beyond the Xbox One's capability.
Now, it might be.
As far as doing it on the Xbox One. Now, if they could do it on PC and then basically give you parameters that will, you know, like they do with Forge, you know, like your lighting budget and all that, to where you can build it on PC and then port it into the Xbox, that I could see happening if they were doing that.
Yeah, I'm thinking maybe some kind of compiler that might be able to condense or compress some of the stuff that you're doing with the scripting engine to optimize it, maybe.
From what I've seen so far and what I've heard, I think Halo 5 Forge has pretty much hit the limit of what the Xbox One can do as far as the available resources.
Well, they thought that for Reach, too, and then they look what they did with Halo 4.
Well, I mean, Halo 4, they kind of redesigned the engine again. You know, it wasn't a total rewrite, but they made a lot of changes in the engine for Halo 4. You know, they were able to optimize the use of RAM a lot more. But, I mean, like, right now, in that last video, they said that they have basically hit their memory limit. So, they would have to go in and redesign how the filing system works for Forge to be able to add more items. Now, I don't know how much of that is, you know, items and how much of that is the scripting and, you know, the other pieces of Forge, you know, because they just don't let you have that information. That would be too much fun. But it's, I think to get more out of it, there probably have to be a pretty substantial rewrite of Halo of Forge again.
Well, it kind of depends on how exactly they're getting limited by memory. Because, I mean, we talked about this on the one of the past podcasts, but they're almost at 20 gigs for the install. So I don't know if they're talking about.
No, I think they're talking about available RAM.
Or sorry, 100 gigs. Yeah. So like stuff that they can load into RAM.
Right. I think that's where the bottleneck is.
I wonder. Yeah, it's probably just something that they can, given that they did a pretty massive overhaul for the multiplayer engine in Halo 5 Guardians compared to the past Halos, I would imagine that they would probably be able to do some rewrite in order to add some more stuff in, because I hope that 343 is having the mindset right now of porting as much of, or at least a very similar set of the existing forgeable content that's currently in the Forge system for Halo 6 as we do right now, because I think people are going to kind of expect that same level of...
Well, definitely for Halo 6, we need what we have now at launch. For Halo 6, that really needs to happen. You know, we need to have what we have now, plus any new additions that they want to make to the game. You know, the Forge on launch day needs to be there. All the game types need to be there, or at least be able to be built in Forge or in game settings or something like that. You know, you don't have to actually have, you know, King of the Hill in the gameplay presets, but you need to be able to at least set the game type up. With what they're doing with Forge, it's a lot of the stuff, the game type is not necessarily a separate thing anymore. It's the game type is set by the map, because you know, like race, all the race elements are scripting elements. About the only thing the game type does is spawn you in on a mongoose or in a ghost or warthog. It doesn't really control the game like it did before. In the older Halos, you know, the race game type, the actual game type is what spawned the gates and what gave them a sequence, or what, at least that's how it followed the sequence. I mean, you assign the sequence in Forge, but you know, that was about the limit to what Forge did. You placed the gate, you told it what sequence number it was, and the game type took care of the rest. Well, now you have to actually build the game type in the Forge map. Hence the reason you got, you know, 14 script brains for the version of King of the Hill they showed, or 7 or 8, whatever it was. I don't remember. It was a lot of script brains. And the more complicated you make it, stuff like that.
It's one of the things, too, that with, I mean, it goes back to one of the things that we felt was very lacking when Halo 5 launched, and that was game modes.
Mm-hmm.
And I understand leaving it up to the community to really come up with some new clever game modes, which we have, which is awesome. But at the same time, for some of the classic game modes, that should be stuff that's natively supported, in my opinion, in the game, and have some officially supported game modes that are easy to mess around with regarding those specific modes, and then have a little bit more generic stuff in Forge.
Well, see, they're taking that the opposite. The multiplayer stuff is the more generic stuff, and the Forge is the more creative stuff. You know, they are giving the Forgers the ability to do what they want with the map that they're building and make it run the way the Forger wants it to. You know, they're removing boundaries for the Forgers, which is great. The problem with that is if you want to do a king, you know, a multiplayer or a match made King of the Hill game type, you know, you can't just build a map and place hill points down. You've got to go in and script the map to work with King of the Hill.
Yeah, and I feel like there's some of those game modes, though, that should just be natively in there, to where someone that isn't maybe as talented with Forge can go in and do that kind of stuff with some basic knowledge of it without having to dig into massive scripting and know how that works on an intimate level, and really just kind of go and make a fun experience. Because look at Forge that we've had with Halo 3, Halo Reach, and Halo 4. Like, you look at King of the Hill, that's not that hard to do. You can take any kind of base layer map and add a couple of things in Forge, and then put the hills wherever you want, and you got your King of the Hill. But in Halo 5, it's a whole lot more complex in order to get something that has in the past been a very simple game mode.
In other words, this is a perfect example of be careful what you ask for because you just might get it.
This is true.
I mean, the forging community has been screaming for this forge ever since they got it.
True.
I mean, not everybody out there is an expert forger. I've got in and played with it, but Halo 5, I think I spent a total of, I played the tutorial on the PC. I think it's pretty much my extent of time in Forge. You know, granted, Forge has never been my thing. I've never really forged. I mean, I've gone in and edited a few maps to make them work a little bit better because, you know, the version was glitched or something like that. You know, corrected the placement of a rock or something, you know, of a plate or something that, you know, just caused an erase map to cause the mongoose to shoot off in some weird direction. I've done things like that, but I've never really built a map. And in Reach, I'd go in and I'd play with it and, you know, I'd get friends together and we all go into Forge and, you know, we'd slap each other with tanks or, you know, get the grid out and launch people across the map or things like that. But did we actually ever build anything? No. We just were finding inventive ways of killing each other.
Very true. But that was one of the fun things of that Forge was seeing all the different glitches that you could do in Reach.
And the nice thing is the honest to God truth is you can still do that in Forge. I mean, some of the stuff that worked in the older Forges doesn't work as well as it did. The tank launch, the spinning tank launch doesn't work as good as it did, but you can still do it. There's things like that you can still do in Forge. But when you get down to the serious business of actually building a map, it is a lot more complicated to use. There's a lot more things you have to think of when you're building a map. You know, beyond just the aesthetics and the movement through the map, you really have to think about, okay, I'm building this map. What is the game that I want to play on this map? What do I want to happen when players enter this arena? And that's where the scripting comes in. I mean, you can still go in and build a simple Slayer map, and that's pretty straightforward. There's no real scripting in it, things like that, or a breakout map or, a big team map. It's just when you start getting into the more exotic game types like Race or King of the Hill, things get a lot more complicated because not only do you have to build the map, you kind of have to build the game type too. The nice thing is with the prefab share, you can go on Waypoint or the custom game browser and find the prefab for the script brains. And then all you have to do is set down the waypoints and assign them properly to the script brains. So, a lot of the hard work the forgers have already done, for the simple game types.
Yeah. T-Bag for Halo in the chat says he has a great idea for Frack and Fridays, your Forge custom maps.
it's crossed my mind a couple of times. Get 16 just people in Forge and say, okay, kill each other.
Let's have fun.
Free for all.
Yes.
We'll play it until the map starts to lag out and then we'll stop and start again. Because all the stuff's spawning.
Yeah. But to your point, Forge has just been incredible and it's been expanded to such a state where the serious forgers do have a lot of the tools at their disposal to do a lot of the stuff that they've wanted to do for a very long time. And while I'm sitting here complaining about how complex the system is, it does kind of give some creative freedom to the forgers to do whatever they want to do with their game modes and maps.
Yeah, unfortunately, this is one of those systems. It's really hard to make everything accessible to everybody. I mean, there are ways around it, and the forgers out there, they are doing wonderful jobs with prefabs and things like that, where you can lay the base foundation of a map, and you could go into the and search through prefabs and find custom built pieces to put on your map. I mean, if you want to put a scarab on your map, there's four or five of them already up there in prefabs. Or you know, you want weapon variants. You know, the whole weapon glitch thing. I think I haven't looked, but I think you can find those already prefabbed or saved as prefabs. If I think, I don't know. I haven't looked. Not that that particular item is difficult to do. It's a pretty simple setup to, you know, do a custom weapon. It's just amazing what people have just come up with. And the prefab is probably the saving grace on that, on the Halo Forge for the people that just want to go in and build the simple map.
Yeah. Great stuff. All right. I mean, we just talked about Forge for 30 minutes and we've got, that just goes to show how awesome it is. And we're going to have Forge people on this podcast probably within the next few months, I would imagine. So yeah, it's going to happen that Forge is just going to keep on growing and growing and growing. And yeah, I have no more words for that. They've just done a very good job with supporting Forge. And I'm very interested to see how they're going to expand what they've already established with Halo 5. Because I would imagine a lot of the stuff that they've developed and a lot of the stuff that they've redone with the engine is going to translate and is actually probably laying a great foundation, at least from the gameplay perspective of Halo going from here on out.
Well, there probably will be a major redesign of the game engine in the future, but we just don't know how far in the future. But things are looking good for Halo 6, at least. I think with all the trials and tribulations we've had with Halo 5, it would have been better to not have them and have the game complete at launch. But the overall game now, I'm very impressed with. Yeah, don't get me wrong, they still got some things they need to work on, but overall, it is a really good game, and I have fun playing it. The introduction of Firefight is my saving grace because I was getting bored of playing SWAT or, you know, just regular Slayer, things like that, because I got to the point where just playing Warzone, period, was getting annoying. And it's not because of any one thing. It's just because people were teaming up. And, you know, they were getting a groove together, and I'm going in alone, random, and it's really tough to win like that, and it's really tough to have a good time like that. With the introduction of Firefight, that helps that. You can go in with a bunch of randoms in the heroic Firefight now, and most of the time you'll win, unless, you know, it's just you have a totally crappy round or teammates, but you can go in, you can win, you can kill some stuff and have some fun.
Holy crap, Eric Yabu, 48 days plus of Warzone. You see that in the chat? He's played 48 days of Warzone. My gosh, dude. How do you have that much time on your hands?
He doesn't have a life.
Apparently not. Jeez.
Or girlfriend. Or kids.
And he's a 151. He's so close to 152. I will agree with you that Firefight was a needed addition, and I think it helped kind of retain some of the population for matchmaking, because it's one of the things that Firefight I look forward to doing my dailies. Mm-hmm. And I can't remember the last time I actually did a normal Warzone. Granted, I want to do it, but I'm not going to do it unless I have a full party.
Yeah, and with the latest update, they shrank the size of your party. So you're still playing with randoms.
It's down to what, 8?
6.
Wait, you can only go in with half a Warzone team?
Mm-hmm. I think it was 6. Maybe it's 8. Eek. I don't know. You can't go in with a full team of 12 now, which kind of defeats the purpose of having a 12-person team.
Yeah.
I mean, I get why they did it. There are teams out there that just steamroll randoms, which that's fine.
Maybe they should have a ranked Warzone playlist.
Well, find a way to better match those teams with equivalently skilled teams. You know, so that they have, you know, it's a real challenge to win the match. Don't take a 12, you know, a obviously 12-person team and put them up against a bunch of randoms.
Yeah.
I mean, I understand that would increase the wait times because of the available game. And you know, that's a downside. But to take that away from those people that have run this long as a 12-person team and say, well, nope, you can't do that no more. We don't want to reward teamwork.
Yeah, that's a good point.
You know, there are people out there that take advantage of that and farm kills, which
sucks.
Yeah. I mean, that definitely needs to be worked on, but you know, to take that away from the teams that actually go in and play the game and play the match the way it's supposed to be done. You know, they just go in and try to win the game as quickly as they can. And the way to do that is cap bases and destroy the core. You know, I get it. I'm not faulting those players, but it just seems like it seems more like a punishment than anything to those teams.
Yeah, Warzone's not the same, I think, if you can't go in with a full party.
Mm-hmm. Was it four or five weeks ago? We went in and did a regular Warzone match on game night, and we got stomped. And we had eight people. I mean, yeah, granted, we didn't have a full 12, but we still had eight people. And they just blew right through us. Good thing is we got a hold of a team that was actually trying to win the game and not just farm kills.
Yeah, and for those teams, it sucks to lose against them, but at least you feel good about it because you lost because it was actually skill and the other team was actually playing the objective.
Yeah, you know, I don't mind getting beat when the other team is obviously, you know, they're coordinated and they just play the game better. You know, that I don't have a problem with. I have a problem when they, you know, what's the word? Can't think of the word. Anyway, I don't like it when they take advantage of that just to try to farm kills or to demean the other team.
Yeah, just to harass.
That, I definitely don't approve of. But, you know, if a team comes through and just blows through me in a Warzone match, I don't have a problem with that. It's frustrating as heck, but I don't fault them because they're just playing the game the way it's supposed to be played. You know, there's two ways to play Warzone. You can kill the enemies to win, or you can cap bases and destroy the core to win. Something they could do is maybe make it a little bit more difficult to cap all three bases. You know, when one team has two bases, that third base gets extra defenses or something. Or, you know, the opposing team players get extra health while they're in the base or near the base or something like that. You know, I'm not an expert at game design, but, you know, that could help maybe make the other teams not try to rush through the game so fast and actually win it on points instead of just blowing right through and blowing up the core.
Yeah, I mean, there's a whole bunch of different ways to possibly solve it, but again,
you know, that's one possibility instead of just limiting the size of the fire team.
Yeah, it's a hard solution to come up with.
Is what I suggest practical? I haven't got a clue. I am not a game designer.
And sometimes there just isn't a solution to fix it. Sometimes that's just the nature of the beast. And yeah, T-Bag, I was thinking the same thing, kind of like Dominion from Halo 4, of having a base kind of defend itself after it's like in a threatening state or whatever.
Yeah, but I think they need to beef up the defenses a little bit. Those Dominion defenses weren't exactly hard to get around.
Yeah. You know, I just thought of this now. If people wanted to have the other team destroy the core, you could just have your whole team stand in front of the core, and that way it's going to get splash damage no matter what.
We could probably go on for hours.
Yeah.
Different ways to do that. But, you know, it's a matter of how practical is what we suggest. We don't have the tools to test that test out our theory, because that's all they are. They're just theory. And it's the same thing with any YouTuber out there that expresses their opinion. It's a theory.
Yep.
It sounds practical, but you know, we don't have access to the game code. We can't make the changes and test it out where 343 can. You know, they can try out multiple things and see which situation fits the best. It may not be the community's favorite pick, but we just got to go with what they give us. I'm just sorry that it affected a pretty substantial portion of the Warzone, you know, of the people that play Warzone.
Yeah, I bet a lot of the population of Warzone is now Firefight.
I know I don't have any problems finding games.
Neither do I. Firefight's fun. Firefight's a lot of fun.
I rarely, you know, when Firefight first launched, for probably about the first month and a half, at least twice, you know, once to twice a night, I'd get put in mid-game. I don't have that problem anymore. I'm occasionally, you know, I'll get put in mid-game. You know, that's maybe once a week. once or twice a week, you know, not every day. You know, it seems like I'm always starting with a fresh game.
Got it.
And I got to tell you, I love the Gunfighter Magnum.
I haven't used it too much. I know it looks sick, but I haven't actually used it too much yet.
Oh, I love that thing. The only problem with it is you burn through ammo really quick. Because it will fire as fast as you can pull the trigger.
That's awesome. How deep is the clip? Is it 8 or 12 well, still?
I think it's 12 rounds, yeah. But, you know, full ammo, you got 12 rounds plus 48 in reserve. So you burn through it pretty quick.
Yeah, especially if you're firing as fast as you can pull the trigger.
But, you know, in firefight, you're fighting things that have more health than your standard Spartan, so you expend more ammo. You can expend half to three quarters of a clip on one soldier, but it does a pretty good job of tearing through the soldier.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to have to try that out a little bit more often.
Well, apparently, Eric Ibu is saying that it's not as fast as you can pull the trigger, so apparently I can't pull the trigger fast enough to make it stutter.
It's not like the pea shooter from Halo 1. That thing was a beast.
Which I've been having a lot of fun with that. And what's the game type where you get random weapons? Fiesta? Was just playing it earlier. Yeah, Fiesta. I've been having a lot of fun with that Magnum and Fiesta. Nice. That and the Blood of Subban. Oh, I love that carbine. I love the sound of it. I love just it just boom.
Yeah. It's great. Well, now that we've had our own little bit of chatter, let's get on to some official newsy stuff. Or at least a little bit that there is. So, of course, Halo Wars 2 is just around the corner. For those that pre-ordered the Ultimate Edition, there is the early release of Halo Wars Definitive Edition, which is out now for PC and Xbox One. If you ordered the Ultimate Edition, you should have received a code through your Xbox Live messages. I know I've seen some tweets with people still haven't been receiving their codes yet, but they have been going out. I got mine. When did I get mine? I got mine on the 20th of December.
When same you get for yours. Me.
Okay.
Yeah, I think they're kind of going, you know, by the time that people ordered it, pre-ordered, you know, the first people to pre-order got their codes and they're just working their way down the list, you know, from the time that you pre-ordered it. So, you know, if you didn't pre-order it until like the 1st of December, it might be, you know, it might be another week before you see it. I think they were saying 10 to 14 days. To process it and get the code out to you. So, yeah, I've played one skirmish match on it because I wanted to get in there and kind of play with the PC controls and see how I liked it because I love playing it with a controller because it just fits the controller really well. But I wanted to try out PC controls. I have in by no means mastered them yet, but I like it. It feels good. I still gotta get a feel of keyboard, and I probably will wind up moving some stuff around, but I kind of enjoyed it. It's nice to just be able to click on the minimap and go to where that is.
Yeah, that makes things a lot easier on PC versions.
Yeah, it makes it a lot easier to get around the map. You know, if you've got units spread out, you can check on the units. It seems like a lot quicker or a lot easier than you could in the console version. I mean, in the console version, you could cycle through your units, but, you know, the unit you might want to check on is probably the last one that's in the cycle. So it's nice to be able to just click on the unit you want to check on. And, you know, if you need to render assistance because it's being attacked, you can call in more troops or you can, you know, call them back or tell them to pick up crates or whatever. So I do like that.
That's good. I'm looking forward to trying it on PC. I have it installed. I just haven't had a chance to play it yet. And I've just launched it a little bit to look at some of the differences in there, and all the menus are the same and whatnot, but the texture fidelity is night and day between PC and Xbox 360.
Oh, yeah. Definitely a visual upgrade. I don't have a 4K screen, so I have to do plain old 1080p, but man, it looks beautiful. And it looked you know, back in the day, it looked good on 360, and now I don't think I could play it on 360 now. It just looks so much better.
I haven't really noticed too much of a difference in cutscenes. Granted, I haven't watched really many cutscenes yet, but just the gameplay fidelity, the texture fidelity in the gameplay is that much better. I don't imagine Blur would have redone the videos, but maybe they had 1080p versions when they did it over the 720p versions that would have been included in the game.
Well, yeah, the video masters are going to be a much higher quality than what we actually saw. And they looked really good on 360. I haven't watched any of the cutscenes in person, but I have watched them on YouTube at 1080p, and they look awesome. It'd be really good. It would be really nice to compare them side by side, just to see the difference, you know, because I got three monitors here and two of them are identical monitors. They're set up exactly the same. So I could literally put the PC version on one and the 360 version on the other and put them side by side and really compare the two to see differences. But what I've seen so far, they look really good. You know, they could have, you know, those things could have been mastered in 2K or something like that. You know, the funny thing about, you know, in that time frame, you know, what professionals have available to use as masters and what we have the ability to play, there's usually a pretty good sized gap in there.
I'm wondering too if they have the original animation sequences stored somewhere and they can just whip out those projects and then do another render at a higher quality.
It could be. I mean, you know, really all the hard work is done once they generated the scene.
Mm-hmm.
As far as, you know, rendering it to a higher quality, they probably just, you know, pull the file out, click render, and
there you go.
Pick their settings and away they go. Because, I mean, you know, supposedly the Definitive Edition is supposed to be able to support 4K. So I would imagine that's cutscenes too.
I would imagine so, yeah.
I can't test that. But if anybody wants to test it and report back, feel free.
So I might be buying a 4K TV here soon. So we'll see. Maybe. But if anyone has a 4K monitor or TV and is playing it, let us know the difference.
You going to get yourself a Titan X, too, to run that?
Probably not. I think my 970 will do just fine.
I honestly don't know what is required to run 4K. So I know that's one of the big touts of the 10 series is that you can actually game at 4K. But, you know, I don't know how far back that stretches. So
who knows? So in some other official news, they have a discount going for the gold packs that you can buy in Halo 5. So you can't exactly buy these through the Microsoft store, but if you go on through the Xbox store, either through the Xbox app or the Xbox console, you can get them. But all the rec packs, like the ones where you can get the 3-pack, the 5-pack, the 7-pack, and all the way up to the 34 plus 13 pack, they're all 40% off. And I think they're still 40% off right now. So that's going on. I do have three that I bought with those when they had the deal going, getting the cheap discount codes for Bing rewards.
Mm-hmm.
So I got that through that. So I have a few to gift away at some point. I'm not sure how I'm going to gift them away, but I have three in my pocket ready to gift away to however I decide to end up doing that.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Three gold packs.
Yeah. And I need to give a quick shout out to folks that have sent me gold packs already. I've had six different people send me gold packs. First one being MechWarrior 488, then Major Overkill 9, Spartan TM, Ace of Spades cards, Dennis KJ, and then Unishek gave me one today. So thanks everyone for sending me some gold packs. This helped me get closer to getting everything unlocked. I got all my silvers done for this latest monitor's bounty update, so I opened up all my golds today.
Yeah, I pretty much had all my silvers done the day it launched.
Nice.
I've never had a problem unlocking silvers. It's the gold ones that I have trouble with. And on that note, I did get one more gold pack gifted to me by Sliders105.
Nice.
I'd like to thank her. I appreciate it very much. I did do a rec pack opening where I opened all my gifted packs and some other packs. It's up on my channel if you want to take a look. It's you can find me on YouTube at Godzilla Todd, and it's my weekly hunt for junk. Stay tuned to the Podtacular Twitter, and Dust usually retweets it.
Yeah, I try to whenever I see it.
Doesn't mean he goes watches it, but he tweets it. So.
So the last one I saw was 21. I think you have two since then, right?
No.
Oh, 22.
22 is the latest one.
Okay.
If I remember correctly.
So I'm close.
You're close.
Yeah. But yeah, go check out his Hunt for Junk. It's really cool. He gets to go through and open all of his stuff. He's kept up more than some other YouTubers that started out doing that and have drifted off of that. Won't name any names there.
Well, it's a fun little thing I do. They're quick little videos to make. Most of them are, I think the max is about 12 minutes. I do all my packs come either by earning them in game or purchasing them with Rick points, with the exception of specialty packs, like the Voices of Warzone pack,
mm-hmm.
or, some of the different update packs that, they've released.
And then like the team packs.
Yeah. I don't really open the team packs like for CLG or anything like that, because you can unlock the stuff. It just takes, you're subject to random generation there, but because I really don't follow esports. So, that I don't do, but a lot of the specialty packs I will buy and open up to, show you guys what you really get in them. I try to get the videos out every couple weeks. Some weeks I have more time to grind direct points than others. Currently, my spare time is occupied by a motor, so I don't have any spare time right at the moment. But I did get a couple out over the Christmas holiday, so I was able to sit down and play.
Nice.
And I wanted to make sure I got those gift packs opened at least relatively close to Christmas.
Oh, yeah, that was a pretty cool idea. Yeah.
Thank you very much for everybody that has given us rec packs. We appreciate it very much.
Yeah, likewise from me. I appreciate everyone that sent me one. And hopefully we'll get to see some more for GT's videos. If you guys continue to send them in, we greatly appreciate them. Definitely not needed, but definitely appreciate it if you do. Some other news. The latest update to the Action Sack playlist is Snowball Fight, which is stickies only. So that just came out today. I actually tried to play a couple of games of Action Sack before the podcast tonight, hoping I would actually land one of the games, and I didn't get one of those games.
Yeah, I think I did three. I got a new Ghost Race map. That was interesting.
I got this weird Griffball one. Really weird. It was low gravity and weird boosts, and you had to throw the ball through an opening that was constantly opening and closing. It was weird.
Oh, yeah, I played that one. It's fun. Explosions everywhere! Oh. I'm really glad that they brought the Action Sack playlist back.
It seems like it might be here to stay. I mean, it seems pretty close to being just a permanent playlist.
I mean, they've moved it into the social playlist, and it's not a featured playlist, so I'd say it's here to stay.
Good on them. We also have Skirmish at Darkstar is the Mythic Warzone Firefight, which those change over pretty much every Thursday, right?
I believe so.
So I haven't had a chance to... I still haven't played any Mythic Firefight yet, so I need to do that.
I have. You think Warzone's frustrating? Nothing like grinding through a Mythic match only to lose in the last minute or last 30 seconds because one boss wipes out your entire team.
Oh, no. And then you're all waiting to respawn?
With like a sliver of health left.
Oh, that's frustrating. That's got to be super frustrating.
And Eric Yabu says it's Friday through Sunday.
Okay.
For the Mythic Warzone.
Oh, so it's not up right now.
It's a weekend playlist.
Well, the arena ones used to be weekend playlists, and then they started just doing those, changing them over every Thursday.
Yeah, well, I guess the Mythic is just a weekend playlist, a real weekend playlist.
Okay. So I'm assuming the Mythic Warzone Firefight is something that they're planning on doing every weekend, if not every other weekend. And I guess they're doing a featured map every time they bring it back.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of what it sounds like.
Yeah, you'll only play on the one map whenever you do Mythic. So, you know, every time you play it, you will get the same map, but random bosses.
Okay.
And if you're going to play Mythic, don't even bother bringing out a Wasp.
The regular Wasp?
Any Wasp.
Oh, really?
Because they will tear you up. I had a Hannibal Wasp, I did it with a Hannibal and an Oni. The Oni did last longer with the Wheelman perk, but I didn't even make it. I don't even think I made it 2 minutes in the round before they just destroyed it.
Dang.
It is definitely Mythic difficulty. Everything you hate about Lasso except the Blind Skull.
And that still sucks.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. Not happening at the moment, but we'll see what happens for next week. So I guess we'll kind of just miss those for the podcast.
Talk about the last weeks.
Yeah.
Of course, I didn't play it last week.
Neither did I. Oh, well.
Well, you kind of had an excuse.
Yeah, I was on vacation with my family. It was all fun. In England. Yeah. Couple other things to wrap up official Halo stuff. For those that got Halo Wars originally, got the limited edition that had the steelbook, you would have remembered possibly that there was a little comic book that was included in it, along with a Spirit of Fire kind of patch and a few other little dossier type of things. There was a comic called Halo Wars Genesis that was included in it. And since they're bringing them back the definitive edition of Halo Wars, they actually decided to release the comic in PDF form. So that's actually available in, I believe, Grimm's latest Cannon Fodder. So you can actually go and download that entire comic book strip that was included in that limited edition of the original Halo Wars. So for all you Halo lore fans out there, go download it. And yes, Pins, I finished Halsey's journal. What?
It's about time. Now, did you read any books that you actually needed to read?
Well, I was kind of including that book as one of the books I needed to read.
So what else did you read?
It's something like The Art of Tidying Up or something. My roommate got it for me.
So not a Halo book.
Not a Halo book, no. But hey, I got through the entire Halsey's journal.
That's good.
So ha. So that's why Lucifer started selling ice skates. No, that's because it's winter. Winter is coming. So I did finish that. I still have a couple of other books to finish up on, including, was it Broken Circle, that I've started 3 times and have never finished. I still haven't read Hunters in the Dark, haven't read Fractures, haven't read Tales from Subspace. I'm behind. But hey, I got one of them done.
Yeah, I think I'm on my 3rd trip through Fractures.
Shush. The only thing is, I need to go find the 2 missing pages. I have to dig through Halo Waypoint and see where it is.
Yeah, me too.
It was an interesting read. It was kind of hard to keep track of with all the jumping because you skip months and then even years between journal entries. So it's kind of hard to keep track of sometimes. But it is interesting to see how a lot of stuff from the other books that we see and then some of the little tie-ins into the games just kind of get interconnected into this one book. So it is pretty interesting. Pims, I have no idea what that is. Halo and Philosophy, Intellect Evolved? Are you joking? Are you pulling my chain?
No, that pretty much sounds like a book they would have put out.
I've never heard of it before, if it is a book. So I don't think it is one. Anyways, yes, Eric Abu is from 2010. Oh gosh, he sent a link. Are you kidding me? Oh my gosh. That is a book.
You get it on Kindle for $9.99.
This doesn't look like an official book. Yeah, I don't think this is an official book. Publisher Open Court. Yeah, it's not an official book. So no, Pins, I haven't read it, and I don't see it as required reading. But it is interesting to see that kind of thing done, kind of like an analysis on the philosophy of Halo, I guess is what it's kind of going for. That's pretty much it as far as official Halo news goes. I am going to a press event on Monday for Halo 2 or Halo Wars 2 multiplayer stuff, I believe. And they also have I missed this, but I think this was the latest community update. Yeah, latest community update. They actually have the full list of Halo Wars Definitive Edition achievements, and it's 1500 gamer score. You see a lot of them are pretty much retooled from the original game. They also have a couple other updates from Moderate Bounty, some Q&A about some Halo Wars 2 stuff, some Halo Wars Definitive Edition, and then a couple of things regarding the Halo World Championship, which I'm hoping to attend this year. I was there last year, got to talk to some really cool international teams and get some new perspectives on the world of competitive Halo, so I hope to be back there again this year in lieu of going to PAX East, because I'm assuming it'll probably be around a similar time frame.
And for anybody in the chat that wants to download the comic, there is a link to it.
Another little fancy thing as we start to wrap things up here is there's a new Twitter account called Isabel UNSC Log. So if you go to at ISA1307_2, there is one tweet on there that says 01/17/2017. So probably get an info drop of some kind on January 17th on Master Chief Day.
On Master Chief Day.
For Halo Wars 2.
I can't imagine why they would pick that day.
1/17, yo.
1/17/17. Oh.
Just wait until it's 21/17. Another 100 years.
Yeah, I won't be around.
Laird is saying beta 2.0, which I could see that.
Well, he did say that the next beta was going to be this month.
Yeah, I thought they said it was going to be earlier this month, which that actually puts it later in the month. But I guess there are some delays, if that's the case.
Yeah. Well, like I said, it's probably just a network test anyway. So, you know, they're not looking to, hopefully they're not looking to do any major bug fixes in it.
Hopefully not.
Hopefully this is just a server load test.
Hopefully that's kind of what we're going for. But it's interesting that they have a Twitter account specifically for Isabel. It is verified, so we know it's officially like part of whatever they're going to do with it, whether it's kind of an ARG type of thing or if it's just stuff to help tease the game. I wonder if they're going to do anything with it, though, after the game's released.
Probably not much, if anything, because all their Hunt the Truth ones have pretty much went...
Yeah, but with...
Of course, that was just promotional stuff, too, but...
With this account, though, they could possibly do something along the lines of additional story things from the game that they might not include in the game, but they'll put on the account. Or maybe they'll give away some codes for you to redeem stuff for Blitz cards or whatever, something like that.
It's possible. We always love free stuff.
Yes, we do. So make sure you're following that. Again, that is... at ISA1307_2. So that's her serial number. It's interesting. It says on her little profile, likes the UNSC logistics, Captain James Cutter and Revenge, dislikes Atriox.
Well, at least she's consistent.
Yeah. Straight and to the point. All right. So a couple other administrative type things to do before we wrap up the show. The next Halo Bowl is coming around the corner. It's actually in about 3 weeks. And we need a team. We need people to play with on a team. So we have returning Keys, who was one of our players from last time. But we need a few more people to help fill out our roster. I'm looking to have a roster of 5, so there'll be a backup if absolutely needed. But it looks like roster locks are going to be sometime next week. I'm going to try to host a tryout tomorrow after this recording. So probably by the time you're hearing this, the first tryout is probably gone by then. For the date, it's going to be January 25th, starting at 6:30 p.m. Eastern time. So that is 3:30 p.m. Western. So make sure that you are available to play, and that's a Wednesday, January 25th. And we need, again, at least 4 people. Would like to have 5 just to have a backup in case. And we are having 6 podcasts participate this time instead of 4. We have ourselves, Drunken Halo, who is kind of like who started the Halo Bowl, Podcast Evolved, and Delta Halo, who were previously there as well. And then the two new podcasts are Bad at Halo and Let's Talk Halo podcasts. And we're all doing this again for Gamers Outreach. We'll be raising money to help them fund little go-karts, which they use in hospitals to bring gaming in a portable manner to kids that are hospitalized. And the format's going to be similar to how we had it for our inaugural Halo Bowl. Round robin play for the first set of matches. It'll be a best of three for the round robins, and then the semifinals will be the top four teams that perform from the round robin. And those will be best of fives, and then the finals will be the best of seven. And this is all going to happen in one night. And with the assistance of Observer Mode, we're actually going to be able to stream a lot more, I guess, professionally. I don't know if that's the right term to use. But there's better streaming tools that we'll actually be able to use in order to stream the event going on and provide a little bit better experience for those that are watching. So we're looking at using the original modes and maps for Arena. So I guess kind of the V1s. I know they're testing new arena settings for the new season of HCS, but we're going to be using the latest official settings, not the ones that they're currently testing for the actual tournament. So if you're interested in playing, then please let me know via Twitter or Xbox message on your interest, and that way we'll get you into tryouts and make sure that we have a team going forward for us to participate. This isn't something that I'm looking for us to necessarily win, although it'd be nice to win, but I am, one of the reasons why I'm having the tryouts is just to get a good team. And it's always nice to put on a good show for teams. Even if we're not aiming to win, it's nice to have good, competent teamwork to actually make for entertaining viewing of gameplay, at least. So if you're interested, please let me know and we'll get you on the team. Again, make sure you are able to play Wednesday at 6:30 p.m. Jeez, a.m. That'd be really early. 6:30 p.m. Eastern Time on January 25th, because that's when the tournaments will be. And we'll have tryouts probably starting the Wednesday after this podcast, and then the Wednesday following, and then lock in the roster, and then just practice from there. And Confal is right. We don't want to get slaughtered either.
It does make things difficult and not enjoyable.
Yes, very true. So we would like to put up a fight, at least. So again, that's happening in just a few weeks, 4 weeks from tomorrow. No, sorry, 3 weeks from tomorrow. And we would like your support on that. There's going to be some changes coming to a little podcast this year. We're going to be doing some things a little bit differently as far as how we're going to organize some of the stuff with the podcast. We're also going to publish our podcast on SoundCloud as well. Give another option for people to download and listen to our show and look at kind of changing up the format of the way we kind of do things with the show, and hopefully finally update our website theme along with doing a few other things as well. Trying to do some community spotlight, since we're starting to enter that realm of community content, at least with regards to the first-person shooter titles. I know we have Halo Wars 2 coming down the pipeline next month, but I'm not sure how long that's going to really last as far as podcast content. I would imagine probably by August or September, that'll probably die down. I'm assuming at E3 this year, we'll probably get a tease for Halo 6, but I have a feeling that by the middle of this year, we're going to have a year of lull on Halo news. So I want to start kind of getting into the community focus a little bit sooner rather than later. At least that's the goal.
Well, we got at least 3 books coming out next year too, don't we?
Yeah, and that was just what I was about to say next, was also get into doing a little bit more Halo Book Club podcasts and getting into doing the reviews on that, because there's a few that we haven't touched on. I think the last one we touched on was Last Light. So there's still Hunters in the Dark, Broken Circle. There's the second trilogy that we haven't even touched on, I think, on a podcast ever. And then there's the new Tales from Slipspace and Fractures and Halsey's Journal, if we want to go back that far, since I finally read it. So there's book discussions that will be had. I'm going to try to re-pursue having folks on from the studio. I want to try to get some spotlights done on a regular recurring basis and hopefully get someone that can focus on competitive aspects of Halo, specifically the HCS, and get like kind of monthly featurettes for a lot of that stuff. So that's kind of the goal. And I'll be putting out a survey here pretty soon as well to see what you guys want as far as content for the podcast, what you guys don't think will be interesting, what you may not like about the podcast, things that would make the podcast better, and things that might help us kind of grow our audience a bit during this kind of lull period. Any of that kind of stuff, we're looking for feedback from the community, which will be welcomed and encouraged, and we just want to make this as much of a podcast as it is for you as it is for us. And we appreciate everything that you guys do to support us, so that's why I want to make it better. But more details on changes will be made available later this month. Nothing is kind of changing in the immediate future, but we will start rolling out changes across the podcast, across the website, and a little bit of change on how I manage things for the community, because that's needed to change for a while. All good changes, though. Nothing to worry about. We'll still be here doing the podcast. We'll still be here doing Fragging Fridays. We'll still be here doing event coverage and taking photos of a bunch of cool things and whatnot when we go to events and covering all the big Halo news and whatnot. But it's time to start turning a little bit of focus onto the community. So that's what I want to do. And I hope you guys are along for the ride.
I'll be here.
Yay. Good. All right. Well, that's going to wrap it up for our first show of 2017. Thanks, everyone, for listening to us on Twitch, for those that joined us. And for everyone who downloads us via whatever podcast aggregator that you have, whether it be iTunes or Google Podcasts now, since we're officially on that, Zoom Podcasts, which I think I went through the appropriate steps to get it on there for sure. Whatever it's Bing Podcast, Zoom Podcast, I guess it's Groove Podcast is technically what it is.
I'll check my phone and find out.
Okay. So it should be up there. I did a little bit of research on figuring out how it was supposed to be done, and I think I did it. Or at least I followed the steps that said on how to do it. So hopefully it is there. But again, there's a couple of different things that you can do to subscribe to the podcast. And again, SoundCloud is going to be one of those new ways in this year that we're going to offer for everyone to go back and listen to the podcast that way as well, instead of just downloading us straight from the site, which you've had to do for anything that's not the most recent 10 episodes so far. So we'll have that going. And a couple of different new things for the Twitch stream. Finally get an emoji and update our Twitch stream page because it hasn't been updated since the last Halo Bowl. And overall, just kind of updating a lot of general assets for the website as well. I am going to officially retire the forums on the website, and we're going to focus primarily on using our Discord chat and focus on using other kind of official platforms like the Xbox Club and the Spartan Company in order to kind of focus on what we're doing as far as collaborating with the community. Forums were great back in the day, great way of collaborating and talking about different topics, but the community that we have for Podtacular just isn't there in such a way where forums is kind of justified. So we're going to officially retire the forums and rely mostly on things like Discord to kind of just keep that community going. For those that wanted the forums, sorry about that. It's something that I've wanted to try to keep as far as kind of having the original legacy feel of Podtacular, but it just doesn't fit anymore. And I've come to that realization and just have decided that we're going to move forward without the forums. And there's a whole bunch of other ways for us to stay in touch with each other and game with each other. And I think going through things like Discord and just sticking with the Xbox Club will be sufficient in order to keep our community going that way.
Well, the good thing is with the Discord and the different chat availability through Xbox, it does make it a little bit more accessible for everybody, because chatting on a forum, well, it's great when you're sitting in front of the computer, but when you're on the go, it's a little harder to do on a phone.
Yeah, that'll be retired, and I'll remove that part from the website. And hopefully I'll work with South to actually get the website updated as it needs to be updated. But changes are coming. Make sure you check out our other social media platforms. We are on YouTube, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. I already mentioned the Discord and Xbox clubs earlier as well. If we have it, if you go to podtagular.com/whatever it is, then you will find it there. We're also part of the podcast network. That is thepodcast.com. And you can find podcasts over there like Critzcast, which is a TF2 podcast, Podcast 76, which is their Overwatch podcast, Guardian Radio, which is a Destiny podcast, The Learning Cliff, which is an EF Online podcast, as well as Work in Progress and How to Murder Time. And I actually got to meet up with Aggro from Critzcast when I was in London. So that was cool. Got to meet him in person. I didn't realize he was as tall as he was. We were actually almost the same height. I didn't know he was that tall.
Did you think he was a midget or what?
No, I just thought he was more of like in the 6 foot, 6 foot one, 6 foot two range, and he was actually more like 6 foot four. Or at least it felt that way. But no, we were pretty similar in height. It was actually I just wasn't expecting it.
Oh, come on, say it. You know it. You felt good. You felt good because you didn't have to look down on him.
It did feel nice to have someone that was similarly height as I was. But we walked around. We had a little bit of lunch. We had fish and chips at one of the local markets. We walked around closer to the London Bridge area. And it was great to chill with him. I think we hung out for maybe about 2.5 hours or so. And it was just good to talk with him. So he's a great guy, great podcaster. It was really cool to get to know a little bit more about him and get to explore a little bit of his city. So I've met him in person now. Sadly, couldn't meet Bife in person, and that would have had the podcast trifecta with Critzcast, Guardian Radio, and Podtacular all together. But maybe one of these days, because I'll be back in London for sure. So hopefully one of these days we can have that podcast trifecta in place. So that'll be nice. So that's it for the podcast of tonight. The podcast of tonight. That was great. The first podcast of 2017. We will be back on Tuesday next week. I doubt I'll be able to talk about anything that I will be able to see in New York. Embargo will be pretty close to January 17th with that tweet being regarded as either being embargo release on that or probably what Laird was saying and being the alpha or the beta, the next Halo Wars 2 beta. So we'll see. But we'll be back then and hope to see you all there, whether it's on Twitch or via download. So ringing in the new year, thanks everyone for tuning in, and we will talk to you later. Keep on fragging trucks or fireworks. Or truckloaded fireworks. Because that'd be explosive and fun.
Boom, chakalaka.
Yes.